that have been updated for now for the truth of the I'm Shepard Smith. Opinion and analysis.
And then, you know, everybody said, what we say about Barack Obama? Well, he's just not black enough. Why? Because he's light-skinned and articulate? Because he paid back his student loans? Because he's married to his baby's mama? No, his character's not black, but his lips is blacker than a motherfucker. Okay. Them some cool Filter King lips if I ever seen cool Filter King lips. And that's black enough for me.
Television's a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity, all the...
Well, they have a little lamb, it's white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help send against you.
And welcome to the beginning of the week. You know what time it is. It's 8 o'clock right here on Reese on the Radio. On blogtalkradio.com. We're back in business. No more audio troubles this week. It is May the 7th, 2012. Now, JC, before I start anything, this is what I want you to do. If you can look on the screen, you will see a telephone number that I just gave you. You can see that, right?
Yep, got it.
Okay. Now, let me set this up, and I will tell you what it is that I need to do. Okay? Now, I talked last week about another show that is on Blog Talk Radio called The Real Talk Blancers. And, you know, they play a lot of hip-hop, a lot of noise on his show. Now, whatever, that's what his audience likes. That's fine. You know, my criticism of that music is my criticism of it. I don't care whether or not they like it or not, and I'm sure they don't care whether or not I like it or not. But one of their co-hosts got on the microphone, and the young lady said, you need to do what you got to do. You need to register to vote. You need to get out there and re-elect Barack Obama. So, as a listener and a follower of their show, I called up, and I simply said to the young man, hey, I thought you drug tested people before you put them on the microphone. This is exactly what I said. But I was joking. It was in jest. I just flat out said, hey, you know, don't you guys drug test people before they get on the microphone? What's up with that? She got immediately defensive. She got on the microphone and she and I debated about the re-election of Barack Obama. And I sent him a message today that pretty much just told him, hey, if you're going to get on the microphone and do a radio show and you make a statement, be prepared to back it up. This radio game isn't about you say what it is that you want to say and nobody challenges you. Leave that to Steve Harvey and Tom Joyner. Nobody's going to challenge what it is that they say over at those ripoffs, at those pathetic radio shows, because they are in lockstep with them. But if I listen to your show, I don't have to agree with you, but be prepared. I don't know whether or not Steve Harvey or Tom Joyner are prepared to deal with criticism for the things that they say on the air, but if you take a position when you're on this microphone, you must be prepared for the onslaught. People who have things to say. Trust me, I get plenty of hate mail, and I'm going to get some today. Because I have proof that an argument that I made months ago about women making less than men has been proven today. But I'll get into that later. So this is what I want you to do, JC. Because they started their show at 8 o'clock. And what we're going to do is we're going to hold on. We're going to put a little pause. JC, start calling their show right now. Put them on the microphone and let them know that Reese on the Radio is doing his live show. And, you know, whatever it is you want, or just dial it and just put it up on the air. Just put it right up on the air, and I will talk to them, and I'll let them know I'm on my show because they're doing their show live. And we'll keep them on, and we'll put their volume down or whatever it is we got to do. But let's put their show up.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, so they're on the air.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time, and the host will be notified that there is a caller in queue. Otherwise, please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Now let's hear what it is that they're doing on their show. I don't know whether or not they're even on the air today. It doesn't sound like they are.
My response right now over what you made. You know what I'm saying? So I want the listeners to understand that, because we want y'all to call in too, because a lot of times some of this stuff is the first time I'm, you know, hearing it. Because that may be going... He go ball deep on the internet and he pulls up some shit on there. So
yeah.
You know,
part
we don't end up calling
because
you know, y'all feedback is gonna be either like mine or gonna be different. Everybody got their opinion. Ball deep.
All right, now JC, put them inside the queue so you can listen to them. And let me know when they're ready to put us up. And I'll just go live from there. So put them in the yellow bubble so you can listen to them. And when they're ready for us, just let them know that Reese on the Radio would like to talk to them and get on the microphone if they're willing to take my call. And we'll see what it is that happens. So I just want to let you know, they're called the Real Talk Planters. I'm promoting their show. And I have every intention to promote their show, because I just want to get into this. And I see a lot of these black people getting on Blog Talk Radio and in other mediums, and, you know, they're ready to talk about stuff that they have no knowledge of. And that's pretty much what the bottom line is. So the minute that they go up, I'll just start talking to them. Again, if you want to look them up, they're called the Real Talk Planters. They look like they're ready to go. If they're ready to go, JC, just put them right up. JC, if they're ready to go, just put them right up if they're ready to go. If they got me on the line and they're ready to go, whenever that is, just put them right on. Because I am ready to speak to them. Unless they're backing out, JC. How are they willing to talk to me on the air? I don't think JC can hear me. Or at least I hope he can. All right, whatever. We will wait. But see, again, as I was saying to them in the email, the breakdown of the email was simply this. Hey, don't get on the microphone and say something and not think that you're not going to be challenged on it. As listeners, you want people to call in. You want people to converse with you. So when you converse with those people, you got to be prepared. You got to be prepared for the onslaught. Now, what does it say? I'm sorry, they are talking about, are they talking about me on the air? Oh, okay, that's fine. I hope they are talking about me on the air. That's fine. This is exactly what I was expecting. I want them to be able to engage with me and talk about the subject matter. If they don't like me, that's fine. I don't have any opinion of them other than you must be checked. And you got to be prepared to deal with what the topics are. So let me just make sure that I clear this up. You know I've got no love for the Obama administration. You know I've got no respect for what it is that they're trying to do. And I've got no respect for African Americans who are walking in lockstep or form some alliance with the Obama administration just based on race. They have no knowledge of the issues, and they know they don't. All they know is what they're told and what they think they've heard. But they follow nothing. They don't follow politics. They don't know their history. They don't follow the news. They couldn't tell you anything about what was going on politically in the country today. They just know talking points, things that they're told to repeat and spout out over and over and over and over again. That's the only thing that they know. So hopefully they'll want to get on the mic. I'm hoping that they're willing to exchange a little, you know, back and forth with me. But it doesn't look like they're going to. So we'll find out. JC's on the line with them now. Just to give you a little heads up on what it is we're going to talk about today, we are going to talk about Obama and Biden and this little controversy with the same-sex marriage. There was a report today on NBC News about it. We'll play the audio from that. We've definitely got to get into the conversation about women in the workplace. An argument that I had with Mary and JC and Kool-Aid Man, who all said that I didn't know what I was talking about. And now a new study comes back that I did know what I was talking about, and I was ahead of the game. I was ahead of this story as usual.
Oh, who is this story written by?
The story's written by a woman.
And she says because she can get pregnant.
No. She says more than that. But we'll get into that. Within the next half hour. But I've got to find out what's going on with JC and the show to find out whether or not they're putting me up or not. JC, give me some. He can't hear me at all. But he's got to give me some sort of indication. Oh, we're trying to get on the show called The Real Talk Blancers, which is a hip-hop show that's here on Blog Talk Radio. And I had a little exchange with one of their co-hosts on the air last week, and I want to see whether or not they want to have a real, honest debate about politics. Now, JC tells me they've been talking about me on their show. So I want to know whether or not they want to challenge me on the issues and talk about, because this is what I'm saying. The girl got on the microphone and said, you got to get out there, register to vote, and you got to vote for Barack Obama, vote him back in office. And I called up and I said, who is this? Like, why would you get on the mic and even say that? I said,
well, why would you not follow through with that
exactly.
By saying this is why?
Right.
You should vote for Barack Obama, but I guess you didn't need to say that. All you needed to say was vote. Black people, register to vote and go out and vote because he's black and we need him.
That's exactly it. But I'm saying, look, when you get on a microphone and you want to make your position known, back it up when somebody challenges you. Don't get mad or defensive because I called you on it.
But none of these stations, not on Blog Talk, not on the radio.
Terrestrial.
Not on terrestrial radio. None of these stations are saying or giving anybody any reason on why they should vote for Barack Obama.
No, and they have no reason.
They're saying, black people, get out there and register to vote because we got to get them. We got to get our own back in office because he's done so much for our people thus far.
And
hell no, he has not. He ain't done nothing for your people, and he ain't done nothing for any people.
And they don't know that, nor are they qualified to even suggest that they are. So I don't know what it is that we're going to do exactly, because it doesn't look like they're coming on. I know they're talking to
a
bunch
of
people. Are they scared? They might be. I don't want to suggest that they're scared. But this is what I'll do. I'll take a commercial break.
Or do they want to fact check?
Well, they better. They better fact check before they get on the microphone. I suggest that they fact check before they get on a microphone. We'll take a break. And in the event that they put us on, we will go directly on the microphone. Right then and there. We will go right on the microphone immediately. Okay? So I'm going to go to a break now, folks. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll be right back. Just stick around. We'll be right back. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies. Policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
I
don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reefs on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward, and the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reefs on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
All over my face. What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.
Okay. It's Reese on the Radio. I had to cut in. Let me let you hear what these Negroes are saying over at the Real Talk Blazers. Just listen real quick. Why can't we get them on the air? We can't get them. What is it? What is going on over there?
Wow.
There. This is what they're playing over there.
Okay. We're back. I just had to play that little excerpt that was the intro to that song. The name of that song is called Four More Years, and it's by Mr. Maja P.
All right, we're playing the Real Talk Blanchers on our airwaves. We're paying attention to what it is that they're saying about Barack Obama. It's Reese on the Radio. Just the people you're listening to are the Real Talk Blanchers on Blog Talk Radio talking about reelecting Barack Obama. I want you to listen to what are considered educated African Americans talking about politics.
This was Romney speaking here. He said that there is a safety net. There is a safety net for the.
What do you want to say, JC?
I'm shocked and appalled.
Yeah, of course you are. Hold on.
My net still got holes in it. Come on, really? My net still got holes in it when Bush was in office. I'm just now getting it repaired.
But did you hear Lisa? I don't care about the poor.
Yes. I don't care about the poor.
He did not care about the poor.
Rich.
I'm not worried about the poor because we have a safety net.
I used to be a Republican.
That's exactly what he said.
We already have
Lisa will tell you.
That's
why my family is only for a long period of time.
And I'm not worried about them. The middle income, the working class citizens, which are not the poor.
Okay, I made a mistake.
The poor don't have jobs and don't have anything and are receiving state-funded funds.
Yeah, I'm okay. I can say it. I'm not what's wrong. I'm wrong.
But just listen to him. Hold on.
When you got a party, namely the Republican Party, they always say, "Oh, we're Christians." But my whole thing is, what kind of Christian are you that don't take care of your fellow man? you see what I'm saying? And that goes with the health care. You know, oh, I don't want to lower prices. You know, just because I can afford it, you can't afford it. That's not my problem. That's your problem.
It is your problem.
Right.
The Republican Party does not believe in taking care of the fellow man.
Because they're not supposed to.
And the Democrat is so liberal where they do believe. And well, I'm sorry, we have a president that believes in we have to take care of each other.
No, we don't.
When everything is said and done. And so I just had to go balls deep on that real quick. Bingo, what you got to say? If there's any listening callers out there that's interested, y'all can always chime in, share your thoughts.
Here we go. We might go.
Man. Like, wow. I'm just, and, you know, I'm listening to all of it and soaking it all in. And all I could hear, the one that really jumped out to me was, I don't care about the poor.
The poor.
But that's not what he said.
You
know, let him care. Man, you're right. I don't care about the poor.
That right there summed up his whole. His interview, his whole person, to me, that's what sums it up. Because, you know, in this world now, it's either rich or poor. So
it's either you with him
or you down here. And he said, I don't care about the poor. So that means if he get in there, it's going to be worse off than when Bush was in there.
I told you, folks. I told you.
Yeah, it will be.
You know, because, you know, in Arizona, they already get away with... Planned Parenthood.
I told you, folks.
And they ought to because Planned Parenthood was made to kill people.
But now he's talking about if he get elected, he's going to do away with Roe versus Wade.
Because he doesn't understand.
Roe versus Wade
doesn't understand the genocide of his people.
To terminate her pregnancy. And it's the woman's right. Now, do a man have a say-so? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And you will hope that you get with a lady that understand and you can work this out.
It's Reese on the radio, folks.
Why? I can't
but ultimately, it's that woman's body. Ultimately, it's that woman's decision.
It's Reese on the radio, guys. We're listening to a show called The Real Talk Blanchers, and these are supposed to be educated black people who are talking about the presidential election.
They should be called The Real Talk Bamas.
Hold on. Let them finish.
Put you in heaven. I don't have a heaven to put you in, or I don't have a hell to put you in. That's your cross. That's what you got to bear. What we need to do is start educating people before they get pregnant. We got to start educating that young lady or that young man to say, hey, you know something? If I get pregnant, we can do this and make it through. We got to change the way they think.
Right.
Not use birth control as a form. Not using abortion as a form of birth control. We got to teach this, and that's not being taught.
And Planned Parenthood is teaching that.
So, one thing they want to try to do is keep us uneducated on things like that. Because when it comes to African Americans or the poor, they feel like our education or our level of thought can only reach so high. That we don't think outside the box.
No,
what's really behind the scenes of what
nobody
they put
else
out
thinks
there.
That.
You know what I'm saying? It's like when they put a bill out there, they only tell us one part of the bill, but they don't tell us the ripple effect that it has on everything else.
You stupid.
Yeah, you're right. They do not tell us the ramification of that particular
right.
bill.
Read
but
the
like
bill.
I said, four more years, people. If you're not a registered voter, shame on you.
Come on, pick up the phone.
Shame on you.
Come on.
Get yourself registered and get ready to get there and vote.
Get
2012.
I wish they
could. For President Barack Obama. Make him be able to come back. And plus, we got the sexiest
person
ever in the White House. Come on. I can't do another 4 years and look at something striving in the White House. I got to be sure for another 4 years. That's all I got to say.
You tapping into everybody's emotions. You said we got the sexiest first lady in the White House.
We do. Sam, you have to admit on that. The Michelle was in the show? I'm like, look at the donkey on her.
Now he's talking about Michelle Obama's rear end, folks. He's
talking about the first lady.
Hi, First Lady Michelle.
That's why people think you're
yeah, she had me at a tension. Yes.
That's the
and
only
I'm not a serviceman. I was
looting.
So like I said, you know, feel free. If y'all have any comments, we're going to go ahead and continue to keep the show moving. If you have any comments, concerns, issues, we'll
press
one.
President.
All
you got to do is press one.
One.
We'll let you in here, you know, because I know a lot of people. I'm waiting for the gentleman to call in that called in on Thursday. We did inform him that this tonight was the night that if he wanted to bring it to the table, well, he was more than welcome to bring it.
Pick up
so
the phone.
I'm hoping
he's
listening. I hope he's
okay,
listening
and press one. We have a caller out there. Let's go ahead and get this caller in here real quick. Hey, welcome to the Big Ol' Heffy Chulo Show. This is Bold Big Monday.
Hey, what's
up? 2012. Who you vote for?
This is Reese on the radio, the guy who called.
I haven't decided yet because my nominee hasn't been chosen. However, it's JC from Reese on the radio. We've been trying to kick down your door for the last half hour.
Oh, okay.
Tell him to pick up the line, JC.
Kick down my door for the last half hour.
Yeah, we've sat through and listened to the rhetoric that you guys are spewing, that the speeches that you guys are playing, and it's like, wow, can we now do this?
It's your turn. You have the table. You have the mic.
Okay, well,
there
you know,
go.
You see those little calls that are on hold?
There's no other caller on hold. I don't see that. If they're on hold, tell them go ahead and push one. If there's another caller out there that want to get in right now, go ahead and push one. Because I don't see no other person out there right now.
JC,
hey, you more
you see nobody. You see nobody else on hold.
No, sir.
Blog Talk Radio.
Is it from the same area code?
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any...
There's a 347 out here, but they're... I don't think they want to talk because...
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Yeah, we do. That's us.
Okay, 347, if you out there, you want to talk, y'all know which one you are, go ahead and push 1. We'll bring you right on in here.
Well, we're down to the console, so it's impossible for us to push 1, but
okay, well, yeah, twice? What the heck? Okay, let me go ahead and put them in here real quick. Let me try this.
Let's see.
Hey, call.
Hey, wait up.
Thank you for
using you
Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Can you guys hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hello, here.
Okay. I just tried that one. It was a lot of feedback on that one just now.
I know. Can you hear me now?
Okay, let's try this one right here.
Can you hear me now?
347. Can you hear me now? Okay, yes. What's up? How you doing, sir?
Hey, what's up? It's Reese on the radio.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up? I'm the guy who calls you Thursday.
Oh, you the guy that called Thursday. Okay,
yeah,
how you doing, Mr. Thursday guy?
All right, listen, my name is Reese on the radio. I'm doing my show live. We have been broadcasting your show on my show, so my listeners can hear you as well. And we've listened to the commentary by the gentleman who was talking about Mitt Romney and talking about Barack Obama. Let me correct him. Before I make my other statements, let me correct your co-host on one thing about Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney said he does not care about the poor. What you failed to mention, sir, was that his next line was,
because the poor has a safety net.
No, but wait, he didn't say, I don't care. I'm sorry, this is Mary. Mary, why are you buzzing from Resource Radio? What?
Get him, Mary. Get him, Mary.
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great, thank you. What Romney said was, he never said, I don't care. He said, I'm not worried about the poor because there is a safety net that has already been put in place to take care of that.
Now, you do know he said that, right?
He never said, I didn't care.
You do know he
said
that, right?
That.
Okay.
Yeah, he said that.
That's a good
so
thing.
You just quoted him, and you are telling the rest of your listeners that he doesn't care about the poor, which is a misquote and a lie. So he said,
so he said it, right?
Net. Wait.
But he said it.
Okay, but you never said that he said that there was a safety net for them. He also said, I don't care about the very rich because they're well off. He said the only people he cares about are the people who are in working class. Those are the people he is working hard for. You didn't mention it. You kept it out of your statement because you have a narrative to push, and that is to say that Mitt Romney, he's too rich to associate with you. But you don't say that Jay-Z, P-Diddy, and 50 Cent are too rich to possibly identify with poor people, do you? Why is Mitt Romney's richness something different? By the way, Jay-Z is worth more money than Mitt Romney. But you don't say Jay-Z is unqualified to talk about what's poor in this country?
But I'm not trying to vote for Jay-Z.
Well, that's the point. The point is that Mitt Romney is not the president of the United States. He's running for president.
And he won't be.
He's running for it, right?
He will be. He will be. And I'll tell you why he will be. Because you guys are sitting up there talking about these platitudes about Barack Obama. You've not mentioned one reason to keep the man in office. Health care is about to be struck down because it's unconstitutional. That's one. Two, the economy. He has made no net jobs. No net jobs in 3 years. He hasn't created a job. The unemployment rate in the African-American community is double that of the rest of America. The unemployment rate for African Americans is at 16.4%. That is the highest it's been since the 80s, 1981, right at the point where Ronald Reagan became president of the United States under Jimmy Carter. So when you're talking about what he's done nothing for black people, and the reason why you're voting for him is just admit it. It's because he's black and you got nothing else. That's what I'm saying. And I'm a black man, and I know that if I'm voting for somebody because of the color of his skin, I'm a moron. Because his issue and what he puts forth as an agenda better be doing something for my pops and my family. And you can't come up with one thing that Barack Obama has done in 3 years that is affecting or benefiting your life, your family. You're only voting for him because you want to keep another black man in office. He's going to fail. He has failed. And he will not be president.
He hasn't failed.
He's not going to be
president. Barack hasn't.
And your little black man is over. Now we're done. You guys are educated enough to talk about this issue. Respond.
Yeah. But you said, what have you done for me? Well, honestly, I still have a good job.
Hey, I have a good job. I live in Ohio, and I have a great job.
Yeah.
You know, and guess what? I lost a job, and guess what? I got a job. So depending on what part of the country in that you live in, if you live in Detroit and you don't have a job, that's probably a good reason because of the auto industry is on the decline. Okay? So they take a number. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. So you have a job. I have a job.
Oh, yeah, very much.
There's plenty of us out here that have jobs, right? We all got jobs. We have jobs.
So someone's lying out there. So someone in the media is lying, right?
Hold on one second. Those of us that have jobs and that are employed, if we keep Barack Obama in office, our taxpaying money is going to continue or is going to get higher because there are going to be more people that are going to be put on the dole to continue to not have to get a job. This country is going to become a socialist country under our current president. That's what he wants.
But isn't socialism good? But isn't socialism good?
Let me talk that. You said socialism is good?
Socialism.
Okay,
Socialism
okay, so
is great.
If you, wait. Here's a good question. Based on your question, is socialism good?
Huh?
So I'll ask you this. How much of your dollar, $1 of your earned income, if you pay to the government, how much of your money did you pay? $1. How much did you give to the federal government to pay for the poor?
How much should I give to the federal government to pay for the poor?
There's a reason I'm asking you that question. $1. I'm how much would I give?
I would give 20% of my income to help pay for the poor.
Okay.
And then I can break it down. I can break it down this way. I give 10% to my church, and I give 10% back to my community.
Okay,
right.
hold on.
I keep it like that.
Hold on. Because under President Obama, he wants to raise your taxes to over 40%. Did you know that?
Well,
you're not talking about the
average middle class or the average poor. You're talking about the rich class. You're talking about the upper class.
You're talking
about the $295,000 people.
No, I am not. I'm talking about the middle class. Under Barack Obama, anybody who falls into the middle class will pay a rate of over 30%. Anybody making more than that, over $250,000, let's give you a perfect example. If you and your wife both make a combined income of $250,000, that means you make $125,000, your wife makes $125,000 a year. Barack Obama believes that you owe the federal government $100,000. Do you think that's fair?
No, it's not fair. I'm going to give you a straight answer. No, it's not fair. It's not a fair thing.
You said you only want to give 20% of your pay. This is a pressure to double that.
Again, I don't believe that these facts are true because there's no way. Obama never came out and said anything like that. You know something? Hey, I want to take $100,000 from.
Don't ever say that. You've obviously not looked it up. Because I've been following politics since I came to school. I pay attention to what the president
says.
So you're 12 now? Excuse me?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. You say you've been following politics since you were 12?
Since I was 10 years old. And I am now 43. I am a politics junkie. I pay attention to what the president says. I pay attention to what goes on in politics. And the president of the United States said, and I quote, that he believes that the rich are not paying their fair share and has been raising taxes on the middle class ever since he got into office. And the middle class is the ones to create jobs in this country. He has regulated them and taxed them to the tune of 5 million lost jobs. Now, you don't know that because you don't look it up. Now, you don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe it. I'm giving you the opportunity to look it up. Because if you're not educated, you're going to bring the same policy and the same turmoil that is on the quote-unquote black people you're rallying to vote for him. Just to give you a great synopsis of this whole thing, a great analogy, I wouldn't support the man who shot Malcolm X just because they were black. Don't think that because Barack Obama is a black man.
How do you make that correlation?
Let me explain it to you. Barack Obama doesn't get to be inherently good because he is your color. A man's character is what makes him good or bad. His judgment, the judgment calls he makes, his policy, his way of life, what he thinks, what he wants, what he learns, how he espouses those issues in his policy. The character of
so,
a man. If you want to quote.
So what you're saying, people's character is different than what I said in people's character. If you go by somebody's character, what we say is totally different here.
What I'm telling you is that there is a contingency. Right? There is a policy out there amongst people like Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson. There are people out there in this country who refuse to criticize Barack Obama for their own personal and political gain when they know that what they're doing to the African-American community and minorities across the board is harming them. They will not tell you the truth. They refuse to tell you the truth. And the only thing you are to them, excuse the way I put this, but useful idiot. Because if you don't know the truth, you will make those blind statements you made at the beginning of this show that you are going to vote for him and tell others to go out there and vote for him too. You are not as
good. Yeah, and I'm going to continue to tell people to go and vote for him.
Okay,
because my opinion is my opinion.
If they follow you,
then
just as dumb as
you. Okay. So let me back it up. Let me back it up real quick. So what you're trying to say, when we had Bush in office for 8 years, matter of fact, let's get 12 years of Bush, that he did a lot of good in office?
Actually, if you want me to go there, I'll be glad
wait
to.
Wait a minute. Yes or no. Yes or no. Bush did good.
Yes. Dude,
I was on your side. I was on your side for a while because guess what? I was a Republican. This is my little brother right here. My family kicked me out the family because I voted for Bush.
Okay.
But when I realized he was harmed, he was harming for society.
Allow me to educate you. Do you know who Nancy Pelosi is?
Yeah, I know who Nancy Pelosi is.
Do you know who Harry Reid is?
I know who Harry Reid is.
Okay. Nancy Pelosi became the Speaker of the House in 2006. Is that correct, sir?
2006?
Yes. She won the election to become Speaker of the House in 2006. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
So she started running as Speaker of the House in 2007. That was her first year in. She is a Democrat from California. Is that correct, sir?
That's correct.
Okay. Harry Reid, he became the Senate Majority Leader in 2006, took over in 2007. Is that correct, sir?
Give me one more second. I'm looking that up. Yes.
Harry Reid is the senator from Nevada. Is that correct?
Yes.
They are both Democrats.
No. He's been serving since 1960. Okay, yeah. That's correct.
Okay, so let me break this down to you. Democrats ran the House and the Senate, the people who handled the purse strings and the spending in the White House. Is that correct, sir?
That's correct.
Okay, so anything that the Democrats wanted passed, they got passed because there were more Democrats in the House of Representatives and more Democrats in the Senate. Is that correct, sir?
Well, then, let's pop our brakes here.
Wait a minute.
You're right. Okay, yeah, you're right. You are correct. So far, you are correct.
I know I'm correct.
You are correct.
So they're running the House and the Senate from 2007 until they were thrown out of office in 2010 in November.
They were hijacked, and people's ignorance and fear got the Republican put back to office.
In fact, let me stop there. Harry Reid remains the Speaker of the Senate Majority Leader. Harry Reid, the Democrat, is still in charge of the Senate. Nancy Pelosi lost the House. But here's my bottom line. Check this out. Now, George W. Bush was president in 2007, right?
Yes.
And the spending, the stock market and the housing market collapsed. In what year?
2008. It was collapsing ever since. It was a bubble about to bust.
Not in 2000.
No, just to show that you don't know what you're talking about.
The thing is, because I work in real estate.
I work
for a mortgage company. The housing market was tanking then in 2000. When Bush came to office.
I
can't hear you, ma'am. I can't hear you. Speak up.
Okay. I work for a company that built homes right here in the actual Washington, Maryland area. Okay? That did not happen in 2000. I did not lose my job in 2000 or 2001 or 2006 or 2003 or 2004, 2005 or 2006. It didn't happen. It was not until 2008.
Oh, my goodness. Is you going to blame that on my president?
Come on.
You might want to start Bush, because that's why I all started that.
Come on. on. Let me get another fact.
I mean, y'all making all this point. Do y'all work for a private sector or do y'all work for the government?
I work for the private sector.
You said that the housing market crashed in 2000. That's the correct.
Hold on, but see, your point. Everybody's point of view is a lot different.
Hold on, sir. Now we let you talk. We let you talk. Now, okay. Everybody's point.
Let me correct you on 2000. George W. Bush was not president in 2000. He was president in 2001. Clinton was president in 2000.
Oh, that's true.
Okay.
And I didn't like Clinton either. I wasn't a Clinton fan either. So that really don't help nothing out. Because Clinton allowed all these houses to go through with these mortgages, with these scamming mortgage companies. Scamming these people, knowing they can't afford these houses.
Yes, nobody's disputing that the banks were scamming people. But can I ask you a question? What was the unemployment rate in 2005?
I'm sorry?
What was the unemployment rate under Bush in 2005? Don't look it up, I'll tell you. It's 0.9%. When did the unemployment start to skyrocket? After Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid took over the House and the Senate.
And sir, another thing. Okay, so you want to vote for Barack Obama? You think that Barack Obama is going to do something for you? And
he's the best president. He's the best president ever.
But why do you? He's the best president ever. What is that opinion based upon?
I love to hear.
He's the best president ever because of what? Because he could sing? Because he got a little bit of swag? Because he's good looking? Because he has a beautiful wife with a beautiful
beauty,
like you said on your show?
Yes.
Yes. You cannot be talking about the first lady's behind like that. If you ain't got
why can't we?
Because
yes.
She's the first lady. If you respect your husband so much, you should respect that that's his wife. And you shouldn't be talking like that. I mean, come on, let's be respectful.
If you were my boy's girl, if you were my boy's girl, I'm like, your girl is fine. You were married to me.
She is fine.
Is fine.
If she ain't nothing else, she's fine.
Okay.
She's fine? Okay. Let's do.
Okay, let's not get off topic. We all know that both of them look good. We know that the president, that we know women all over the president because he's a good-looking man, because he's dressed charismatic. He's got much more swag than any president ever had in office before. And I'll agree with you on that. I do not disagree with you at all. But being the president calls for the having some swag and being able to do it. Okay? Being able to dress nice. Being the president calls for the president of the United States of America. The government that we put into place to put for the people. Now, this government that is currently in is not for the people. They are for the government. They want to come in and bring more government into your life, my life, and everyone else's life.
More government is good. More government is good.
Wait, let me tell you something. You think more government is good? Do you know what happened?
Oh, I can't hear you.
Yeah, he's breaking up.
More government is good, and maybe you should move to China.
You're saying that more government is good, and you see what's happening in Greece? You see, what about China? You want to go to China and work for Apple and get paid $17 a day? That's a socialist country. You think that that's good? It's not good. This country was built on American people being able to go out and work and prosper based on the amount of work that they have put in, and that's everyone in this country.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait a minute, sir. Everybody in this country has the opportunity to be and go wherever they want to go in life. As you have seen, there is a black president, an African-American president in office. He didn't get there just because he got there because he worked his tail off to get where he needed to go when he got there. And every other black, white, Spanish, Chinese, whatever other American in this country has the opportunity. The problem that can go to work, and they don't go to work. You know why they don't
that's
go to work?
Choice.
Because I go to work, and because you go to work.
That's their choice.
I have to stop. Are you making a valid point? But I have to stop. Okay. Listen, I just want to say, it's Streets on the Radio. We're on the line with the Real Talk Blancers here on Blog Talk Radio, in case you're wondering who we're on the line with. Guys, now that's the reason why I planned on calling you guys today, was because I wanted to know whether or not you were prepared to get into a deep-rooted conversation on your stance on supporting Barack Obama. Now, Mary has pretty much made her statement as far as how it is that she feels people should vote in this country based upon what your value system is. I got to hear you out when you said that there should be more government, because you have to explain to me why more government is better for the people.
Because with more government comes more programs. More programs comes more help to the people. Once we start helping people, educating people more thoroughly, then we can start doing away with the government. Let's just keep it real. We always going to have big government. Government never is going to switch. All the Republicans always say, we need smaller government, we need smaller government. But yet, government is still growing. They still got these social programs.
Okay, may I interject and tell you why you're patently wrong here? Let me explain this to you.
Tell me why.
Now, you and a lot of your listeners or your friends, you're very excited about Obamacare, right?
Of course.
Okay.
We're the only country that don't take care of its own people.
All right.
We're the only country that pays. You're wrong. What?
You're wrong.
I'm telling you why you're wrong. Okay, go ahead.
I'll come back. Have you read Obamacare?
Have I read all 1,000 pages of it? No, I haven't.
It's actually 2,900 pages. You've not read it.
No, I haven't.
Let me educate you. That's okay. Let me educate you. Do you know that there's a provision in Obamacare that specifically says that if your child visits the hospital more often than they're supposed to, that a bureaucrat from Washington can come into your home and can tell you what it is that you can and cannot feed your child? They can go through your cupboards and your refrigerator to mandate what it is that you can and cannot feed your child. Do you remember?
Hey, guess what? Wait. Guess what? They do that now.
They do that now.
Let your child go to school and say they're not being fed. They're going to call Children's Services, right? And they're going to come to your house. If you don't have a can of beans on your table, They can take your child from you. Let's be real about it.
No, first of all, that's neglect, sir.
That's neglect.
That's called neglect.
That's not big government.
We're talking about you are feeding your child, and they can come into your house because your child is overweight or has high blood pressure or has asthma. The government has access to your personal health records and can come in and tell you how to live. Are you fine with that, sir?
They do that now.
That's not what I asked you.
No. We're talking about the government coming in and taking your TV dinners, taking your frozen beef patties,
right,
taking hot dogs, and replacing them with what they deem as nutritional food, so that your kid doesn't get sick as often.
Are you okay with the government coming in telling you how to...
If I was ever that bad of a parent, yes, I'm okay with it. Because my family's not, as a parent, cannot do it.
No. You were talking about if you were a bad parent. I'm telling you that this is mandatory for every parent. Not if you're a good parent. Are you okay with the government coming into your home and mandating how you live, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Sir, you're both agreeing.
Because if you think about it, he's talking about this is for the poor, right? Take care of the poor.
No, not the poor. Not everyone.
I have nothing to do with poor. Everyone.
But if you have health care, you don't have to worry about it, right? If you already pay for health care.
Wrong.
My job supplies my own health care.
Wrong. That's not going to be here anymore. That's what Obamacare does.
Oh, my.
That's not what it, you haven't read the bill. I'm explaining it to you. You can't tell me what it doesn't say. You've not read it. I'm telling you what it says because you haven't read it. So I'm going to throw another
okay,
one.
Okay, okay.
Are you okay?
Well, I'm going to get this off because I'm going to read it pretty soon, but I'm going to go ahead and get this off.
You better read
29
pages. How about this? Are you okay with the fact that the President of the United States says that if you do not pay your premium on your bill, that you can be fined and or arrested? If you don't have health care, if you walk into a hospital and you did not pay for the health care, let's say you're 25 years old, you're living healthy, you don't want to spend the extra $2,500, and you don't want to have the health care, and they find you don't have the health care plan, that you could be arrested and put in jail. Are you okay with that?
I would say no.
That's in the health care bill. Let's go a little further. Barack Obama, in an interview in 2009, was asked about his grandmother, his maternal grandmother, who had died a year after she got a hip replacement. He said that if he had known that his grandmother was going to die a year later, he wouldn't have paid for her to get a hip replacement. Inside the bill, a bureaucrat in Washington can tell your grandmother whether or not she can get open heart surgery, a pacemaker, she can get certain medication, because under his bill, the government will decide whether or not grandma or grandpa lives or dies. Are you okay with that, sir?
No.
If
you're African American,
if they pass
70,
they live their time. They pass 70 to live their time.
No. So now you're saying that grandma and grandpa's decision to live should be held up by the federal government? That means grandma and grandpa have no more rights. The federal government tells them whether or not they can live or die.
Well, if they're getting assistance from the government,
are you okay?
If they're getting assistance from the government, the government regulates, right?
That's the whole
point. Medicaid is a state program.
That's the whole point. If you get assistance from the government tells you what it is that you can and cannot do, sir, and that is not the definition of freedom. Do you understand that the Constitution is put there to protect you from the government? Or have you not read that either?
I've read the Constitution.
No, you haven't.
The Bill of Rights and all
that. No, you might have read it, but you might not understand
it. You didn't understand it. The Constitution is a contract that prevents the government from doing what they want to you.
Oh, God, you're killing me on this. Now, this is the problem I have. This is the problem I have. Okay, we got President Obama. President Obama, the best president we ever had. Not because he's black. Not because he's charismatic. Because he speaks to the people for the people. Everything that he has done is for the people. Not one president we have ever had has done anything for the people.
Really? You're
now,
wrong.
Let's get back.
Let's talk about this. Let me respond to your statement about Barack Obama. You said no other president has done more for the people than him. That's what makes him the best president. You're wrong. Do you know that under Ronald Reagan, more African Americans joined the middle class than any other president in our 235-year history? Do you know that, sir? Do you know it, sir?
Wait a minute. Does that really matter? Because what? You was like 12 years old when Ronald Reagan was running for president.
That
was a shift in the divide for black Americans.
What does that
mean? It was a shift. So what you're thinking about when you're 12 years old.
But the numbers don't lie.
What does it have to do with history? The numbers don't lie. Even Jay-Z said that. Jay-Z said, men lie, women lie, numbers don't.
But that was a shift. And it was not because of Reagan. It was a shift because of the people.
How about this one? Do you remember welfare reform under Bill Clinton? Do you remember?
Do I remember it? No.
Okay, welfare reform. It's one of the things that Bill Clinton is most revered for. Bill Clinton signing into law the Welfare Reform Act, getting people off welfare and getting them jobs. It's one of the things that people love about William Jefferson Clinton. Here's what you don't know. Bill Clinton vetoed it twice. And the person who wrote the bill was Newt Gingrich, a Republican and Speaker of the House. Did you know that, sir? The man who tried to get black people off welfare and get them jobs.
And that was a welfare-to-work program.
Welfare-to-work program. The person who tried to get black people off welfare and into a job was a Republican, and the Democrat that all black people loved before Barack Obama voted against it, vetoed it twice. Did you know that, sir?
No.
But he's getting the credit for it now. In the hood, that's known as that 21-month program.
Look it up. All you have to do is look it up. You are seriously not getting the information. We live in the information age. We're on an online radio show in 2012. Everything that you want to know about these candidates and about these politicians is at your fingertips, and you know nothing about them. But yet you were screaming and hollering about a president you know nothing about. My mother used to say, when you say stuff that you don't know, it's just as bad as committing a sin.
Your mom lies. Okay? Because
no,
that's
mom,
not committing a sin. It's not just as bad as committing a sin. It's not a sin. Because I know this. I know this. I know this. I know this. This man has gotten to office. And what he has done in the first 121 days, as a matter of fact, what he has done in the first 4 years of his presidency, and bringing a whole nation together, no other president has done that. You can't sit up here and tell me he's done it. We got white people believing him. We got black people believing him. Come on, that's just real. This is real knowledge about this president.
Pick up a newspaper.
I got newsflash for you, buddy. Hip hop has done that.
Hip hop brought people together, not Barack Obama. First of all, Barack Obama.
What?
Barack Obama.
No, that's a lie. That's a freaking lie. Come on. Let's be real about it. Then Barack Obama is the best hip hop person there is out there right now.
Wait, can I say something to you? Is there an Occupy Wall Street?
Yes, there is.
It's not Occupy
Barack. It's Occupy Wall Street. And we do have one up here in Columbus, Ohio, by the way.
You've never been to an Occupy rally, have you?
What? Excuse me?
You've been to an Occupy rally?
Yes, I have.
Hold on. So you're telling me the people at the Occupy rally are not disappointed in the president?
No. Not my people. Not my people up here.
Okay. Then, you know what? Then you're definitely a subtext of the entire movement, because I've followed the Occupy Wall Street movement for a long time, and they are not satisfied.
And the Occupy Wall Street movement is against Romney.
But
they're against Romney. They're against the Bush. They're against the Reagan. They ain't against an Obama. Come on.
They're against Romney. Why? Because he's rich? Because he's rich? Really?
Yes.
That's it?
Yes.
He's rich.
He doesn't pay his fair order of taxes.
What? What do you mean he doesn't pay his fair share? You got to be out of your mind. First of all.
Oh my goodness! Now you're gonna tell me somebody like Romney pays his own taxes?
First
his fair amount
of
taxes?
Wait. What is Romney's fair share? What's Romney's fair share? How much of his money should be given to the rest of the people?
More than 15%.
Should he be giving more than half?
He should be giving more than 15%. That's all I'm saying. He should be giving more. No. I'm not going to tell you this. But I'm saying he should be giving more than 15%.
In 1 year, he gave
away. I should not be giving more than he is.
How much?
So what we're doing right now, it's okay to bring a crook.
How much
to the presidency?
Wait. How much money?
Oh, no. We're talking about Romney right now. We're talking about Romney. This is nothing to do with Obama. It's okay for us to bring a crook all the way into the White House that say he's not going to do that with the poor, and that he's going to make the rich richer. That's what you're saying.
Wait, how are you going to get a job?
Again.
How are you going to get a job, sir?
More than 15%. He didn't pay no more than 15% of his taxes.
You didn't want to give any more than 20.
But it's still more than him.
But wait. Hold on. Here's a man who gave all of his...
Oh, here's a man.
Wait. You want to talk about Romney? Let's talk about Romney. He Here's a man who gave all of his inheritance from his rich father to the church. Can anybody else say that?
He's a freaking Latter-day Saint. Come on, that's not a church. It's a cult. First, that's not a cult. It's a cult. It's not a church. It's a cult.
Slow down. Harry Reid, the guy I mentioned earlier, who inspired Barack Obama to run for office, he's a Mormon too. So slow that down.
Again,
you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're
talking about. When it comes to religion, I know what I'm talking about. It's a cult. Mormonism is a cult. That's a real
cult. And by the way, as a Christian, as Mary just said, that's not a very Christian thing to say.
Yeah, it is appropriate thing
well,
to
you
say
didn't,
as a
you,
Christian.
Wait. So he gave
if you're a real Christian, you should know that. If you're not for Christ, you're against Christ. If you're not for the man, you're not against the man. It's
so
what it is.
What do you mean if you're not for Christ, you're against Christ? So I guess the Sikh religion, they're against Christ?
Mormons, yes, they are, because they believe that John Smith is the Christ. Come
I
on.
Didn't
who,
say,
who
I didn't say Mormons. I said the Sikh.
But you said Mormons. Oh, we're talking about Mormons right now, right?
They're called the... Aren't they called the Mormons... Jesus Christ of Latter-day
Saints. Because John Smith came all the way up into the United States of America, found a little artifact in the back.
You are really, really uninformed, aren't you? I've never seen anybody.
About the Mormon?
Yes.
Yeah, about the Mormon?
Yes, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I mean, what more of a description do you need?
Again, who discovered, who formed the religion?
But we're not talking about John Smith.
Who formed the religion? No. Who formed the religion? I'm just curious about that. Let me hit your education real quick. So who formed the religion? John Smith, right? John Smith?
Get to Romney.
Okay. Back to Romney. Who's going to rob the people already of not paying 15%, only paying 50%.
How do you rob people by keeping most of the money you earn? How do you rob the people?
Because that's what you owe to...
Definition of rob, that means I take something that you have, right? That belongs to you, correct? No. If I rob you, I'm taking the money you earned. Is that correct? You said rob.
No, that's called taxing.
No, sir. You said
that's called
robbing.
Taxing. That's tax. That's called taxing. That's
okay.
Not robbing, that's called taxing.
Okay, that's what I said. You said that Mitt Romney is robbing the people by keeping more of the money he earns, sir. Is that robbery, or is that the definition of keeping what you earn, sir?
No, that's not paying what he owes. He owes more than 15% of his income.
Wait. Who does he owe money to, sir?
To the government. And, with,
oh, and
the
government
is to the
supposed
people.
To do what with that money, sir? What is the government supposed to do with that money?
Put it back into the debt. Pay off the debt. Rich people aren't paying their fair amount of taxes.
And the debt is accrued by people who have what? Nothing. Is that correct?
No.
Well, tell me how debt is accrued. By paying for stuff, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And do you know what we spend more than two-thirds of our debt on? Entitlement spending. Did you know that, sir? And do you know what an entitlement is? Welfare. Food stamps.
Oh,
Medicare.
God.
Medicare.
Entitlement? Whoa. You really think these are called entitlements? Welfare is an entitlement? So have you ever been on welfare?
Do you follow politics, sir?
No, that's my question. Have you ever been on welfare? Have any of you ever been on welfare over there?
When I was a child, yes.
Okay, you have. Anybody else?
I know plenty of people who have. Yeah.
Okay, so is that entitlement?
What do you think it's called in politics? It's called entitlement spending. That's what a benefit is. It's an entitlement. That's what the definition of it's called. If you follow politics, you know that that's the terminology. Medicare, Medicaid, welfare, food stamps, these are all called entitlement spending. There's bank spending, there's interior spending, there's entitlement spending. Two-thirds of our deficit comes from entitlement spending in the form of food stamps, Medicare, Medicaid, welfare.
So you're saying
you don't care where your tax money go then, right?
No, no. What I care about my tax money going somewhere, but I don't want it going to people who can find a job. But the reason why they can't now...
To people who can't find a job.
You mean to the unemployed. People who cannot find a job. The reason why they cannot find a job is because...
Can't find a job?
I'll tell you why. Because...
Because jobs are out there.
I lost my job.
And another 2 months, I found another job. So I'm just trying to figure out, why is these people are finding a job?
Well,
it makes
me bad.
I'll find a job that will pay me more.
I'll tell you why.
Isn't that the truth?
That's great, fans. Welcome to the April edition of MWS Science. I am Dan Marotti.
Let me break this down. Is it or is it not true that under this president, people got 99 weeks of unemployment?
I can't confirm that.
Yeah, of course they did. He extended the unemployment rolls to another year. You're only supposed to get 20 to 21 weeks of unemployment. Is that a fact?
Yes, that's correct.
Obama extended it to 99 weeks. You know why he extended it? Because more companies were not hiring than the last fiscal year. And the reason why they weren't hiring is because their taxes went up. And if a company's taxes go up, they have to compensate for that loss of money by firing people. So when you're sitting around here talking about people,
that's
how it works.
Really? You said because the taxes went up?
Yeah, he did. He really said that.
Okay, I'll make sure.
Hold on. Let me ask you. If you're so stunned by what I said, let me give you a scenario. Let's say you open up your own business. I'm going to ask you the first rule of business.
Which I do have my own business.
So what's you own your own business? What's the first?
I own my own business. And I work at 9 to 5.
What is the first rule? The first goal of a business. Number one, nothing else supersedes the one thing you're supposed to do in a business. What's that one thing? When you open up a business,
make money.
One thing. What's that?
Make money.
You're close.
Make money.
You're close. It's earn a profit.
I pay myself first, and
it's
I pay
called,
everybody else after that.
It's called earn a profit. Right?
Did I say make money? Yeah. That's what
earn
money
a,
is.
Wait,
right? Make money.
Why do you...
Make
why
money.
Do you...
Okay,
wait a minute.
Now,
why do you earn a profit?
You're foolish right now. Now you're being foolish. Now you're being foolish, dude. Now you're some other stuff. You're some other stuff. I say make money. Make money. Make a profit is the same thing. Money and profit. You call it profit, I'm going to call it money.
No, but here's my point.
You made your point. Let him finish.
Make a good point.
I am
right, because, you know, he's trying to overtalk, and he's trying to, you know.
No.
Okay.
Really?
You made the same point that he made, and then you went on with a conversation with this guy.
No, it was not the same point. The point was this. He said, what it was. I said, make money. He said, no, make a profit.
Okay, point taken. But let
the
man finish what he has to say.
It's the same thing, right?
Okay, let the man.
We can argue semantics.
Why are we debating when you guys agree on the same thing?
Okay, so you earn a profit.
That's him. Because he said, I agree with you.
You earn a profit to do what, sir? What's the second rule?
To pay myself.
Wrong. To expand.
Wrong. Wait. You don't make a profit to pay yourself?
No. First of all,
you got the game messed up.
It goes.
You got the game messed up. If you don't pay yourself first.
Sir, it goes hand in hand.
Everything else comes after that.
It goes hand in hand when you earn a profit to pay yourself. What I said, the next
rule.
No, it doesn't.
We'll get past that.
Is the next rule after you pay yourself to expand? Do you have to
expand? I gotta be careful. When you say expand, you mean expand the business or
expand
my clientele?
Expand the business, your clientele, no matter. Expand everything.
To expand. Get more clients.
And the way that you do that is to earn more profit. Is that correct?
No. My clientele just expands just because it expands. They like my product. They like what I do.
So wait. But let's say you only have a place in Ohio and you want to open a business in Duluth. You have to earn more profit to open up that new business, right?
Correct.
And when you open a new business in Duluth, you have to hire people there, right? And in order for you to hire people there and to still make a profit so you can pay yourself, that means you have to keep more of your own money. Is that correct? You can't give away most of the money that you make to taxes and then be expected to expand. You'll fail every time. Is that right?
Well, you're supposed to pay the fair amount of taxes.
No. What the definition of fair, sir, is subjective. You are saying...
Oh, God.
Yes, it is. Wait. If you don't believe me, try this on for size. Do you know what the corporate tax rate is in the United States?
Right off hand, no, but if you give me a few seconds, I can tell you.
I can help you there. It's 35%.
Oh, go ahead and help me.
It's 30... Part what? It's
30, go ahead and help me.
The current rate is 35%. Mary's telling me that it's higher than that now, but... That's right. It just went up. You're absolutely right. It just went up from 35%. You're absolutely right, Mary. It actually just went up from 35%. Do you know what the corporate tax rate is in Ireland? It's 9%.
What's that?
It's 9%. Do you know what the corporate tax rate is in China? So when you're asking yourself, why do so many companies leave and go to China? It's because their corporate tax rate is lower. And when they stay in the United States, it's higher. So when you call the fair share, I call a halt of expansion. So companies can't grow, therefore they can't hire more people, and that's why they stay stagnant. That's how it works. So you keep talking about fair share, which is socialism. I'm talking about free market growth. So your business
okay.
can grow.
I mean, you say that, no one can expand. But there's more competition out there now than it has been. It's
doesn't
not a monopoly.
It doesn't matter whether or not it's competition. If you make a better
it doesn't
product,
matter? Yeah,
it
doesn't
matter.
Matter.
Let me tell you why. It's just like what we do on Blog Talk Radio. There are thousands of shows on Blog Talk Radio. But you and I, we have to do a compelling show that makes people listen. So it's competition. Competition is good. Are you going to tell me it isn't?
It breeds a better product.
It breeds a better product.
Good.
That's exactly right, JC. It breeds a better product. If you have competition, a guy out there invents a better mousetrap, you go out there and you make a better one than his. That's the reason why the iPhone is surpassing every other phone. It's because they build a better product. And to save money, they're building them in China, where the employees are getting paid $17 a day.
So it's kind of like you want to move to China.
But
the thing is, you're for socialism yourself, and you're talking about me being for socialism.
No. I'm not saying that what they're doing is
God.
No, you're
oh,
missing the point.
God.
You missed my point. What Apple is doing is a necessity. They're creating their product in China because they can't make factories here, because they're getting taxed out the wazoo, and they can't afford to build here. So
35% is getting taxed out the wazoo.
That?
You said 35% is being taxed out the wazoo?
35% on top of everything else? Don't they have to pay manufacturers? Don't they have to pay? They have to pay for environmental safety. They have to pay their employees, and on top of that, they have to pay for insurance, and they have to pay for a whole bunch of other things on top of 35%. At the end of the day, they're looking as a company at less than 30% overall profit. Because if they were in the United States, they're already paying a 35% tax, corporate rate tax, and then they're paying for everything else, supplies, insurance, employees. So you can't say they're not paying their fair share. They're employing people. They're also employing other companies by buying their products. So everybody's getting paid. If you tax them, they are forced to move out the country. Now, you know how this...
So they're forced to move out the country?
Of course they are.
They're forced to move out. It's a choice.
No.
It's a choice.
It's not forced.
choice. But as I told you in the beginning,
green.
Rule number one in owning a business is
okay, but who does that hurt? They move their companies overseas. Who does that hurt? The middle class, the people that work in the warehouses.
Oh, so you're missing my point. A company has
you're making my point.
No, no, you're missing
my point.
A company.
This is all point.
No, no, no. A company has no obligation to hire. They're not obligated to do that. They in no way sign a moral contract.
Yes, they are obligated to hire people.
You own a business.
You know,
you own a business.
I'm sorry,
right? You are not obligated to hire anybody there. That is a choice. You don't have to hire a soul. If you open up a business, nobody can make you hire people. And no company.
That's correct. That's correct. That's correct.
So what are you
talking
about?
That's correct.
It doesn't matter who they
are. That's correct. Because I am a one man show right now. So I don't have to hire nobody.
Exactly. You don't have to. But they're telling me that a company is supposed to. No, that's something you'd like them to do. But they're not obligated to do a damn thing. A business doesn't owe anybody stock. If they need you, they hire you. It's both supply and demand.
Oh.
So you're saying it's all right for them to lay the poor people off while the people that own the business make more money.
Get rich. Yeah, that's what you're saying. Like a
that's
Republican. Yeah, that's a Republican. That's Lil Romney right there. Lil Romney. Reese, I'm going to start calling you Lil Romney. That's it.
No,
I'm going to start calling you Lil Romney, Reese.
But let me tell you something on the hard-nosed facts and what I say on this show, okay? And you're not going to like this. But I don't, and this ain't coming from Romney. You heard it straight from me. I don't give a damn about the poor. It ain't my people.
Wow, you really? And you say you a Christian?
No.
You would get mad because I made this statement?
Sir, you would get mad because I made that statement?
I'm not a Christian.
Listen.
I made a statement. You gonna try to tell us my Christianity?
No, I'm gonna challenge your Christianity. But on the same token, if you had employees and your business wasn't doing that well,
you'd have to fire them too. Right.
No, he would. He would fire. He's not going to go out of his pocket.
That's right. You're not going to go out of your pocket to pay for people you can't.
You're not going to go poor for your employees.
Not
only a fool would.
If your company wasn't poor for your employees. You're going to say
that you're willing to go poor for your employees.
Are you willing to go poor for your employees?
If my employees work for me, we're grinding together.
Are you willing to grind together with your employees?
So you're saying that if your company was going under, you would go poor for your employees.
If I go under, and you call yourself a Christian,
you're sitting there telling that bold faced lie.
I'm not saying.
No.
That's a bold faced lie if I ever heard one.
Dude, you didn't know me that well, do you?
Let me explain.
If anybody knows Jefe Chulo, know what Jefe Chulo is all about. Because I'm all about people, family, and every all that first, dude.
Let me tell you something.
Dude, taking care of your fellow man is first.
This is the thing I don't know about socialists and guys like you. Let me explain to you what I don't like about it. Let me tell you something. First of all, when you start asking other people to do something that you will not and cannot do, you're a hypocrite. That's one.
No, I mean, that's the thing. I never do that. If I can't do it myself, I will never ask no one to do it.
Let's get that straight about Jefe Chulo.
If you don't know Jefe Chulo, sit down and have a conversation with me. I will die for this dude right here. I will go to bat for this dude right here. Then you understand how I am.
That's just one dude.
So you can't say that's a bold-faced lie unless you know me, right?
That's nice that you have one guy that you would use who would pull out all the stops for. That's all kind and good.
No, I have a little nation that would pull out a whole stop for.
Okay, what you are a product of is called class envy. You don't like rich people because you're not rich. Instead of becoming rich or taking advantage of the opportunity to be rich, forget about people who are rich. That's why I don't give a damn about people who are rich. Just like I don't give a damn about people who are poor. You have got to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and do what you got to do. Other than that, if you can't do it, put a pistol in your mouth and get it over with.
No.
Other than that,
he'd rather go down with the ship.
So you're supposed to get a handout?
You want them to have a handout.
You're saying you'd go down with the ship.
I'm telling you that if you want it bad enough, you'll get it bad enough. There are a lot of people in this country who started with nothing. Famous Amos. Remember Famous Amos cookies? The man couldn't read, and the man had the most famous cookie in the world.
So are you coming from the standpoint that you are rich or you want to be rich?
No, my man, of course I want to be rich, and I'm willing to do anything to be wealthy. The point is that I don't ever judge another man's wealth and be envious of them. I'm proud of their success. I always applaud the next man's success. You want to know why? Because if you do it, it only certifies the fact that I can do it. All that
That's
to do is
right. And see, we're not too far. We're not that much farther from each other. Cause I'm like you, dude. But the difference between me and you, I'm gonna care about my fellow man. Because if I don't make it, they don't make it. If they don't make it, I don't make it. That's how we do. That's how we roll together.
He must have been a rapper at some point. Were you ever a rapper, sir?
No, I'm just a ride and die dude.
Were you ever a rapper?
Look, I come from a community. If you don't understand this, look up www.mailblock. That's the community I come from here in Columbus, Ohio. We have a lot of success stories in our community.
You're in Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, Ohio. Obama kicked off his campaign at. I think you heard that, right? Where he kicked off his campaign at for 2012.
What was that website?
www.mailblock.com. That's my community I come from.
Well,
we come from a community of.
I saw Obama kick off his campaign in Ohio today. I saw it kick off the campaign today. What was up with the top row at Ohio State? I see. What happened to A Star Is Born? Where were all the people on the top row? I understand people aren't showing up for Obama anymore. Where's the hope and change? I thought he was a rock star. You had half of a
Who's
stadium.
A rock star?
Yo, he had half of a stadium empty. This is the same guy who filled up Invesco Field in Denver. I was there. I went to the Democratic National Convention. I broadcasted live from there. The man filled up an entire football stadium, over 80,000 people. What happened to your man at Ohio State? He couldn't fill up a 12,000-seat arena. What's up with your boy? It's over. The black experiment comes to an end.
Ah! Woo! No, it isn't. You know something, Reese? We got to finish our show. We will continue this argument until until November. 2012 We're gonna be back. We're gonna be back next month. We're gonna coordinate this. We're gonna come back next month.
I want to.
We're gonna sit down.
I want to thank you guys for having this exchange with me, although it's been heated.
Oh no. It's all love. It's all love at the very end. I can still shake hands. I'm still cool with you. We're still cool,
and we'll be in
contact with each other.
And so am I. JC, get their information. You guys, I follow you guys on Blog Talk Radio, so I appreciate the opportunity, and I love the heated debate, man. This has been fun.
JC, I got your number. I'm gonna hit you up after the show, and we're gonna chop it up some more. Okay, sir.
All right, we'll coordinate.
Is that the 216? You've got the 216 number, correct?
All
right, there we did it. As we told you, Mary got upset because I cut her off. Are you still angry with me? Okay, she's not talking to me. All right, I'll deal with that. We'll take a break. We've obviously been on for over an hour with these guys. Again, that was the Real Talk Blancers. And I said that I was going to get them on the air today. We got at least some other news we need to get into. Joe Biden and the whole gay thing. We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's Reese on the Radio. Stick around.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies. Policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward, and the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
All over my face. What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right, ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Reese on the Radio, and we're back right here live on blogtalkradio.com. Okay. So, again, the Real Talk Blancers were our guests, and they were doing their show live, so you can hear our exchange on their show as well, which pretty much went up live. And they're, that word, Blancers, in case you're looking for them, is like answers with the letters BL in the beginning. So it's the Real Talk Blancers on Blog Talk Radio. And look, as much as I have to give them credit for one simple thing, I was harsh. In a lot of ways, I spewed a little bit of vitriol. But in the end, they were cool. And they took it for everything it is that I criticized them about, saying that they couldn't deal with the heat. They, you know, they didn't want to exchange, have an exchange about the topics. They called me on it, and they had an exchange. So I'm going to give them props for that. And I don't think there's anything more I can say. I give them props. So to have that discussion was a good thing. It was a good thing for me. I'm actually sweating. 36 minutes after the hour is your time on Reason Radio. JC, what'd you want to say? Oh, that was pretty good, huh?
Yeah, that was pretty good. We had an awesome chat and talk.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, so yeah. We'll keep in contact, especially this guy from Ohio.
Yeah.
Talk about a diehard Obama, what do you call it, an Obamaite or whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
He is just...
There was no cracking that one at all.
There just isn't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what point I bring up. He just keeps coming back to, he's the greatest president. He's the greatest president. Doesn't matter what it is that you say. He's the greatest president. All right. I mean, I guess you can't convince him. And there are those types out there. You just can't convince. And no matter what. What are you, traffic?
Get from in front of my damn house. Surprised you didn't hear the ice cream truck coming by earlier. That's why I kept stepping out.
Let me get to this audio that's right now. I don't know what it is about the Obama campaign, but, JC, do you watch the Sunday political shows at all?
I catch the local ones for
Yeah, you do. I notice you do that a lot. You do catch the local ones because, I mean, Connecticut, what I've always known about Connecticut, it's very community-based. I mean,
yeah.
Everything local – it matters here. They get involved with national issues. Connecticut cares about Connecticut and Connecticut politics. That much I know.
Yeah, we do. We take it personal.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially at a local level.
Yeah, I've always known that about Connecticut. I didn't know it when I first got there, but man, in fact, when Star and Buck Wild, when we first got there on April 1st, I remember one of the first things you said to us was that, you know, the one thing you got to know about Connecticut is that, look, they care about their local radio stations because it's got to be community-based or nothing. And that's why the station 93.7 was so successful, because they really kept it community-based.
Yeah, they dug in.
Heavily involved in the community.
Yeah.
But this was on Meet the Press. It was Vice President Joe Biden, who, I don't know why, but out of nowhere – came up with this conversation about gay marriage. And people are speculating on what this means. Now, I'm going to tell you what some of the people that I listen to have been saying and what I believe that this might be, because I believe this is actually going to hurt the Obama campaign with the LGBT community, the lesbian, gay, boy, toy. What does the BT stand for?
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender.
Thank you. I don't know what the BT is. Okay, so this is a report that was on NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams.
President Obama does not support gay marriage, and while his stand has been and remains an issue, it is a bigger issue now that Vice President Biden chose yesterday morning's broadcast of Meet the Press to voice his support of the issue. Then on MSNBC this morning, the president's education secretary did the same thing. And suddenly, the White House spent the day knocking down an issue they were not planning to knock down today. Our chief White House correspondent, Chuck Todd, is with us with more on this. Chuck, good evening.
Good evening, Brian. Well, as you pointed out, today was supposed to be a continuation
of the president's campaign kickoff for a second term. They've even debuted a TV ad that's reminiscent of Ronald Reagan's famous It's Morning in America. But it's that comment by the vice president on gay marriage that caught both the White House and the president's campaign a bit flat-footed.
I am Vice President of the United States of America.
It all started with Vice President Joe Biden on Meet the Press.
I am absolutely comfortable with the fact that men marrying men, women marrying women, and heterosexual men and women marrying men are entitled to the same exact rights, all the civil liberties. And quite frankly, I don't see much of a distinction.
Biden was more definitive than the president had been 18 months ago when Mr. Obama had last addressed the issue substantively.
My feelings about this are constantly evolving. I struggle with this. I have friends. I have people who work for me who are in powerful, strong, long-lasting gay or lesbian unions. I personally am going to continue to wrestle with going forward.
The apparent split sent aides of both men scrambling to clarify. Biden's office put out a statement minutes after Meet the Press aired, simply stating what the president had said previously, that same-sex couples should not be denied rights, adding, beyond that, the vice president was expressing that he, too, is evolving on the issue after meeting so many committed couples and families in this country. Then this morning on Morning Joe on MSNBC, Education Secretary Arne Duncan was asked whether he supports gay marriage.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so have you ever said that publicly before?
I don't know if I've ever been asked publicly.
Hours later, White House Press Secretary Jay Carney faced repeated questions about the president's position. All Carney would say is that the president is against a proposal on the North Carolina ballot tomorrow, which would make gay marriage and civil unions unconstitutional in that state.
So help me out. He opposes bans on gay marriage, but he doesn't yet support gay marriage.
The record is clear that the president has long opposed divisive and discriminatory efforts to deny rights and benefits to same-sex couples. That is a position he has taken that precedes his taking a position in North Carolina. It's a position he's taken in other states where this has been an issue.
You know, we should point out, Brian, that the country is, if you will, evolving on this issue, to borrow a phrase from the president. You know, in 2009, when we polled on this issue on same-sex marriage, nearly 50% said they were opposed to it, only 41 supported it. Well, if you recall, remember just a couple of months ago in March, we asked again, 49% said they supported gay marriage, just 40% opposed. So you see that shift in public opinion, Brian.
All right, Chuck Todd from the White House North Lawn.
Now let me tell you what it is that Chuck Todd did there at the end. He tried to equate President Obama with the rest of the country. Oh, you know, Obama's evolving, and so is the rest of the country. You know, back in the days, they 49% disagreed, and now, you know, 49% agree. Okay, fine. You know, it was a little switcheroo, changeroo that he pulled. And nobody's going to fall for a banana in a tailpipe. Knock it off. Let me get back to this point. Most people thought that Joe Biden was sending a wink-wink out to the gay community by saying, hey, look, Obama, I know, hasn't come fully out and said that he supports you because he really can't. But he sent me out here to sort of let you, sort of nudge you a little bit. Hey, you know, we got your back. You know what I'm saying? Without having to commit, the President of the United States was saying. Now, I don't care what anybody says or what anybody thinks. The bottom line is this. Is that until Barack Obama comes flat out and says he supports gay marriage, he's going to lose them. That's it, in a nutshell. Because when they asked candidate Obama back in 2008, he was asked specifically whether or not he described or the definition of marriage was between a man or a woman or otherwise. And he said he ardently agreed that marriage was between a man and a woman. That's it. His Christianity tells him so. So that was his statement. Now, you heard him saying that he's evolving on the issue, but he won't commit. Evolving is another word to the gay community that says, hey, I could change my mind, which the gay community loves to hear. And he knows that that's another little wink-wink to the LGBT community. That's the whole bottom line. It's a wink, wink. I'm evolving. Isn't that what you want most people to do? You know, people who used to be opposed to gay marriage, you want them to come around. And that's all you can really ask. Hey, look, I understand your faith. I understand the way you were raised. But just consider what it is that we go through every day. And here's Obama saying, you know what? I'm thinking about it. My thoughts on them are evolving as I meet more and more gay people and some of my friends. Some of my best friends are gay. Comment. But he's not going to commit, and he is going to lose the gay vote. So I propose just come out and say it. Say that you support the marriage between a man and a woman and a woman. Just say it. Stop going back and forth. Stop being afraid. Because when they press Romney on the issue, you know what he's going to say. Because he's already been advised. Romney, do you support gay marriage? Well, I feel as the president does. That's all he has to say. I feel the way the president does. And they'll be confused because they'll be like, well, the president hasn't. Sure he has. In 2008, he said marriage is between a man and a woman. You elected him president, this shouldn't be an issue for you. You're going to hold me to the same standards you won't hold the president of the United States? Really? Really? So nobody has to make a commitment. It would be something different if Obama, who really, really wanted to get elected, if he really, really wanted to, come on out and say it. But see, he knows what the problem is going to be. The problem is going to be that they're going to catch him out there. Well, now he's for gay marriage. He's willing to do anything to be reelected. He'll even change his position on one of the biggest social issues in America. So I know he's never, ever going to change his mind. He'll continue to evolve until maybe October, when they have the October surprise. Maybe he'll kiss a boy. Kiss a young man on the lips. Mwah. See, I'm down. Maybe. I think he'll pull anything out of the hat now. Michelle, excuse me for a second. Come here, Billy. Mwah. Come on, Barack Obama. Any up. As MOP would say, any up. Get the position made.
Well, Romney's kind of cute, too.
Just to show the American people how I feel, I am willing to kiss my opponent on the lips. Mwah!
But I ain't kissing Newt. That would be like kissing Barbara Bush.
Hey!
They look alike.
That's America's grandmother.
They look alike.
Yo, watch your mouth. Disrespect that old woman. At least you didn't go after Laura. Laura's hot.
Yeah, she was hot.
You know Laura's good-looking librarian.
I can't believe how they were salivating over Michelle Obama. And she's such the average-looking woman.
Well, you know, that's the thing. But, you know, for guys to talk about Michelle Obama's posterior, I mean, I just called Laura Bush hot. She's good-looking with it. But
she's got a dunk, though.
Okay, good. Every time I see this woman and I hear people comment on her posterior, I always go, you know, that's not really acceptable behavior. Like, are we really voting her in because she looks like a video vixen? I mean, come on. Is that what we're celebrating now? Is that how shallow?
If they put her ass on the ballot, that's his running mate.
That's just vicious. That is just vicious. All right, when we come back, I got to go into this thing. 10 minutes until the end of the show. I'm going to get into it when we come back because I have to. I promised that I would. I want to talk about this report that came out about men and women in the workplace and this new study that came out, which is amazing. amazing. And it proves my point as I expected. Because I know I'm right. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll be right back.
Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb
it's not because they have breasts, it's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way, and I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million.
Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos.
She Levi over and over until a baby fell out.
The Maverick and the Milk. They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cunt.
That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb,
this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City. Number 2, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's to update her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the 7th inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb quads,
Marr decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million.
I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
You're talking in your sleep.
It's Reese on the Radio. I love that jam, man.
One of the greatest ever.
Yeah, Romantics.
Romantics, yeah.
Yeah, Romantics. I really love that. Once I heard it one day, and I said to myself, I got to get that as a bumper. Okay, so this story that I pretty much argued with you guys about was about whether or not women were making less money than men. And I think the argument was that women were making 77 cents to the every dollar that a man made. And I said that there were reasons for that, and I blamed things like pregnancy. I said, you know, because a woman is, you know, spending more time with the family, where the guy, on the other hand, worked more hours. He was much more dependable. He didn't have to deal with these, with the labors of having to deal with a family. So this story was in the Wall Street Journal. And let me just break it down just to show you that old Reese knows what he's talking about. And her name is Kay
Heimowitz, who wrote Why Women Make Less Than Men. In studies from the U.S. to Sweden, pay discrimination can explain the disparity. Women earn less because they work fewer hours. First, The Atlantic magazine announced the end of men. Then a Time cover story in March proclaimed that women are becoming the richer sex. Now a Pew Research Center report tells us that young women have become more likely than young men to say that a high-paying career is very important to them. Are we really in the midst of what Pew calls a gender reversal? One stubborn fact of the labor market argues against the idea. That is the gender hours gap, close cousin of the gender wage gap. Most people have heard that full-time working American women earn only 77 cents to every dollar earned by men. Yet these numbers don't take into account the actual numbers of hours worked, and it turns out that women work fewer hours than men. The Labor Department defines full-time as 35 hours a week or more, and the or more is far more likely to refer to male workers than female ones. According to the department, almost 55% of workers logging in more than 35 hours a week are men. In 2007, 25% of men working full-time jobs had worksheets of 41 or more hours compared with 14% of female full-time workers. In other words, the famous gender wage gap is to a considerable degree a gender hours gap. The main reasons that women spend less time in work than men and that women are unlikely to be the richer sex is obvious. Children. Today, childless 20-something women do earn more than their male peers, but most are likely to cut their hours back after they have kids, giving men the hours and income advantage. One study by the American Association for University Women looked at women who graduated from college in 1992 and 1993 and found that 23% of those who had become mothers were out of the workforce in 2003. Another 17% were working part-time. Fewer than 2% of fathers fell into those categories. Another study of MBA graduates from Chicago's Booth School discovered that only half of women with children were working full-time 10 years after graduation, compared with 95% of men. Women, in fact, make up two-thirds of America's part-time workforce. A just-released report from the New York Federal Reserve has even found that opting out by mid-career college-educated wives, especially those with wealthy husbands, has been increasing over the past 20 years. So again, as usual, Reese is right. Again, it's astonishing to me. Nobody wanted to listen. I told you that it had to do with women having children. I said it. I repeated it. I argued it. I got shouted down. I got an email from a friend who said that I was a chauvinist. But the numbers don't lie. So eat it. Eat it. You don't have to like it. But I know what I'm talking about. It sucks to be you. Oh, I have to play this bumper because it's apropos. Slum Village, get this money. I love this song. Reese Wright again. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you to the folks at the Real Talk Blancers for entertaining us today.